Yo, what's up? It's Adam Hunter. Hope you're doing well. Thank you for listening to MMA Roasted Podcast. We got a great show coming out. We have Lauren Murphy coming off a huge knockout last week on ESPN. We're going to talk to her right now. The reason you're getting all these podcasts is because of Rockfin, R-O-K-F-I-N. Endorse me at rockfin.com/Adam Hunter. Tell everyone how great it is. You're going to get tons of content, tons of stand-up. I put up kamikaze comedy there. I put up shows, comedy footage from shows. Put up everything. And plus you get my stuff. You get Ben Askren stuff. You get Jordan Burroughs' stuff. Chael Sonnen has a page. It's a great. You get Aaron Weinbaum. You get comics. You get fighting. You get jiu-jitsu. You get politics. All on Rockfin. It's awesome. They found a new way to pay people, content creators, through cryptocurrency, and it's been great. So go to rockfin.com/Adam Hunter, and let's talk to Lauren Murphy. Okay, Lauren. I'm talking to the beautiful, funny, talented, strong Lauren Murphy. How are you?
Dude, I'm so good. So good. How are you?
Good. I was so proud of you. You rocked it so hard on Saturday
Thanks,
night.
Man.
I was like, and then you scream like a maniac. You just kept screaming. You might have been the loudest. Was that just years of frustration and heroin and just drugs and sex just all coming out of you?
You know, sex, drugs, rock and roll. I love it. So,
I mean, it was awesome. I did check because she's probably very loud in bed.
I try. My husband likes it, so I got lots of practice in. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Yeah. Training is important.
Now, do you feel like you're finally? Because now people were talking about you. People were like. By the way, did you get the bonus, the 50 grand?
I did not get the 50 grand, no, but that's all right. There was a lot of finishes that night. It was a tough night for bonuses.
That is bullshit, because you had the best finish, and I don't think anyone could argue with it. I mean, whose finish is better than yours?
I don't know. A couple people went to sleep. I think there were three people that got put to sleep, and then one really clean KO from punches, and then Lucy Pudilova and Antonina Shevchenko got fight of the night, so... It was a pretty tough night for bonuses, but yeah, but that's okay. I'm super, like, honestly, the whole scream and everything was just because I was so fucking pumped to have such a good performance. And, like, for me, that's just been kind of my biggest obstacle is, like, getting in there and just, and fucking doing what I know how to do and not letting the pressure get to me, not letting the, you know, the eyes on me and the bright lights and everything else make me crumble, and it has a couple times, so like to come back and kind of overcome that one more time is just a big deal for me. That's why I was like screaming so loud, you know.
Did you feel like you were disrespected at all by being the underdog?
No, I was surprised though. Like when I was walking out, I heard like on the broadcast that they said that she was like the favorite to win. I was like, oh really? Fuck, that's kind of weird, but whatever, like I don't know, it kind of surprised me.
I thought it was nonsense. I mean, look at who you fought. You fought the best girls in the division at a weight class above. I do got to say, your face was looking very ripped. You had a very chiseled face. Can you tell, like, when you're at weight that your face is getting more chiseled?
Yeah, like, when I'm, like, at 125 and I get on the scale, usually I do look kind of sucked up. I don't really like it that much. And then, like... I have a new nutritionist who helps me rehydrate this time, and just the rehydration protocol he has is so on point. So I put a bunch of weight back on, but like I look a lot better today, I think, after eating a shitload of food and like getting some good rest and stuff. I don't know. It's hard to look sexy when you're about to get into a fist fight, you know? I don't know
Good. You look like the girl from Terminator.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. I'll take it.
What's her name? Linda. I forgot her name, but she. You kind of look. Yeah, you look like that.
Yeah, I can't remember her name right now either, but hell yeah, I'll take it. She had, like, the nicest arms of the 1990s. So.
Right, your arms look jacked. And I remember one time I hooked up with a fighter, and a couple times, actually, but she gave me, like, a blowjob, and all I kept looking at was how jacked her arms were.
And then I was like getting jealous while she was down there that like my arms weren't even close.
Shit.
But I was now, what happened to your foot?
So the cartilage in one of the joints, the joint that's like right where your big toe meets the rest of your foot, that big ball joint, the cartilage in there was really bad. It was all torn and rubbed bare. Like it was torn and kind of flapping around in that joint, and it was super painful, and I didn't have very much mobility on my foot. So they had to go in and they just took all the cartilage out completely, and then we had to let it grow back. So it takes a long time for it to grow back, and so that's why I was out for so long.
Did they tell you possibly this is a career ender, or you might not be able to fight again, or?
Nobody said that, but like it is the same injury that ended Deion Sanders' career.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so it was a little scary, and then I got a fight, and then I had to pull out of the fight. I wasn't cleared yet, and so there was some hard days like rehabbing and stuff where I was worried, but that, you know, to come back and just have such a good fucking performance, like my foot never even crossed my mind, and I don't think it held anything back. I was kicking with it, everything, so I think I'm going to be good to go.
Now, I remember I was watching your post-fight interview. You said that you're learning how to throw your hands, and you have more power in your hands. And now eventually you're going to learn how to throw your feet to have more power. How do you do that?
You get a good coach that will work with you and rep with you and work with you and rep with you. I don't think it's going to take very much strength training. I've always had a lot of power. I just, like, for a long time I didn't extend my punches properly. And now I feel like I'm doing that. Like, for me to rock that girl with an uppercut, really, it really meant a lot to me because girls hardly ever, like, hit each other that hard, you know. It's very rare for one girl to rock another with a punch, and so to know that I have that kind of power in my hands is it just pumps me up, man. I love it.
You know what's crazy is, like, you were throwing that uppercut, and I'm like, oh, I hope she doesn't get caught with the left hook, because people that I talk to, they're like, when you throw that uppercut and like don't open it with a jab or a cross and then throw the uppercut, that you're leaving yourself open. But it didn't seem to affect you at all.
No, I got a hard head, so it's fine if she wants to. I kind of like getting hit in the face when I fight. Like, it lets me know that I'm in a fight, you know, and, like, I know the crowd likes it, and it just, I can't imagine getting into a fight anymore and, like, having it be super one-sided. I really like, I like getting into, like, a war. Like, I really like that, and I the whole reason I fight is to do that, you know, so I don't give a shit if it leaves me open. If she hits me, I'm fine with it.
You're amazing. I mean, the fact that, like, and people who have heard this podcast before know where you've come from and how you were, you know, drug addict, almost overdosed, almost died a couple times to go to rehab. Your parent died, left you $50,000. You blew it in a month. You partied and partied and partied. You finally hit rock bottom, and you were living in your car. And now here you are, ranked like number 7 in the world. And you pick up the score to 27. I mean, that's amazing.
Dude, it's wild. It's wild. That's why my nickname is Lucky. People don't believe me, but I'm truly the luckiest girl in the world. I really am.
You're like 8 Lifetime movies in one person.
Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah.
It should be Lauren Lifetime.
The Lauren Lifetime channel. More to come.
Now, I noticed that you left the lab. I know the lab was like your home. Was there bad feelings or any kind of bad blood? What happened there?
Not with me. You know, just fighters do need change. We definitely need, like, everybody needs change in order to evolve and to grow, right? Growth is change, literally. You can't grow without changing. So I think change is a good thing. And, you know, I'd been at the lab a really long time. I did the lab program 110%, fully immersed for 5 years there. And I really grew a lot from it. I'm definitely a better fighter. That fight-ending sequence, stopping the shot, getting my hips in, pulling her up into that clinch, and then ending with the knee, those are all things that I drilled at the lab. So it's not like it was a bad thing for me to be at the lab, but I just think that change is really necessary for us. And so I went back to my old coaches that took me through Invicta, and they got me to the UFC, and I'm 5-0 with those guys right now. And I went 2-4 with the lab, so something obviously is not right for me doing that. I mean, the proof is kind of in the pudding. That was the best performance I've ever had in my life.
A lot of fights kind of went your way. The Sarah McMahon fight was very close. The The Carmouche fight was close. The Caitlin Shukagan fight was very close. Those were very close fights that could have went your way.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, I think they've all been close. I don't, you know, the fight with Sajara was probably the most lopsided, and even that is like, she never really hurt me or anything. So, it's fine. Fuck it. Like, it's over. Nothing I could do about it. But still, I think that, you know, growth is good. Change is good. So I went back, not really to a new camp. I went back to my old camp and kind of got back to some of my old ways that got me to the UFC. And I really enjoy it. I enjoyed the process. This camp, probably the most I ever have. So, yeah, it's just a good all-around thing, man.
Now, is it all of a sudden hard moving to Houston? Because Arizona is fun and it's cool and it's kind of hot. And like, are you wearing, like, cowboy hats in Houston? Have you guys adapted there?
Yeah, I've adapted with my cowboy boots and some cutoff jeans. No, I love Houston. I really love Houston, and I like Phoenix too. You know what? Honestly, to be honest with you, Adam, I lived in Alaska, dude. I could live anywhere, and be happy. I'm super jacked up, but I do love Houston a lot, and I like the people out here, and I have a team out here that I really trust, and they care about me, and so yeah, I'll be spending a lot of time out in Houston for sure.
Now, what was it like? Now, you're in the same training with Derek Lewis. What's that guy like in training?
Fuck, he's awesome. He's just hysterical. He's really fucking funny. He's got a huge heart. Yeah, he's cool, man. He's a cool dude. He's rehabbing his knee right now, but I'm excited for him to get back in there, too.
I mean, and you have a very nice butt. Did he comment? Like, ooh, who's this booty when you walked in?
No, he knows who I am. We actually fought on the same card in Legacy, like, so long ago, you know? And so I asked him, I said, do you remember me? He said, of course I remember you. I was like, oh, right on. And then we would just bullshit about the fights or, like, sparring or whatever. But he's a cool dude, and, yeah, he's not trying to talk too much shit. So
good. Now, what happened with Sean O'Malley? How does that guy keep getting popped for stuff? He looks like Screech McGregor. Like, how does that guy? I mean, what's going on with that guy? I love that guy.
Dude, I don't know what, like, honestly, he was cleared to fight, and then I think it was not USADA, it was the Nevada Commission that fucked him up, right? It was the Nevada Commission that didn't want him to fight, not USADA. I'm pretty sure he was cleared by USADA, and the NAC was like, fuck you, Sean. I don't know why they did that, because they make money off of Sean, you know what I mean? They kind of cut off their nose to spite their face by not letting him fight, but hopefully the UFC will hook him up and just put him in a different state, you know?
All right. Now, what happens when a guy like that walks into practice, it just became noticed? Where does John Crouch give a speech to the whole team? Like, guys, we gotta be careful what we put in our body. Like, is it kind of like, does everyone kind of not train with them? And, like, there's like an out, like, what happens when that happens?
No. I think Crouch did give us a talk about how we have to be careful. But that substance, Osterine, it's been found, like, in women's vitamins. Fuck it, like in melatonin, you know what I mean? Like that shit is everywhere. And so he just kind of gave us a talk about how important it is to take, you know, substances that have been third party tested, right? So stuff that's been tested by an outside independent third party that will put a stamp on it and say, yes, this is clean of any banned substances. It's super important for us. And Sean's a young kid, and I think he took like a caffeine pill or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, it had some fucking Osterine in it or whatever. But, like, there's a ton of fighters that have been popped wrongfully for that exact substance. So Crouch gave us a little bit of a speech, and then we all just went to practice, and fucking Sean walked in, and we all said, hey, what's up, man? That sucks. Good to see you. And everybody just went on with their lives, you know? What else can you do?
That team was so funny. I mean, the fact that I went and watched you practice that day. It was so much fun. But when I watched you, first of all, you don't pull back. Like, you practice hard. Like, you go for, like, knockouts and shit in practice.
Yeah.
And then you had O'Malley doing, like, weird spinning kicks to the corner. Then you had Ben Henderson, who's, like, talking to his wife while sparring.
Yeah, like, were you there that day? Yeah, that happens sometimes.
He's, like, telling he's like, beating up, like, a top three guy in Bellator or something and telling his wife to, like, take the kids out. And I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, that sounds like Benson. Yeah, you will not find one pussy at the lab. Not one. There isn't one there. Do you know what I mean? Everybody there is fucking tough as fuck. And it's a great team, and it's a bunch of hard workers. And, like, actually, before we even moved to the lab, we heard about sparring at the lab, we knew, like, we know it's like a rough room in there on a sparring day, and it truly is, you know. But
we had like Rob Everson had like an ankle bracelet on him while sparring. The whole thing was
Dude.
Like
he's a savage. What can I say? Yeah, it's crazy. David Michaud's in there just fucking tossing dudes around.
Yeah.
We got, I don't know, you know,
Johnny
11.
There.
Yeah. There's just a ton of good fighters in there day in and day out, beating the hell out of each other, loving every second of it. But it's a rough room, and it's a tough room. And if you can hang at the lab, you're going to be fine anywhere. And when I went into this fight, one of the ways is that I calm the nerves is that I know that no fight is going to be tougher than the rounds that I've had there, you know, on small glove Saturday. There's just no way that the fight is going to be any harder than facing fresh people round after round with your tiny-ass gloves on. Yeah, so no problem.
It was like 50 people in a room that should have held like 20. It was like a mosh pit of sparring.
Hey, and then those motherfuckers turn the air conditioning off sometimes.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah.
Who are your new training partners?
I have a bunch because I have two or three different places that I go to in Houston. So there's a kid named Paris Moran. He's a kickboxing world champion. He's a 145er. But I train with him. There's another guy, Gabby Echevarri. He's also a kickboxing world champion. And then Tony Martinez is another guy that I train with down here. So it's a much smaller team, and it's a lot more centered on me. And then this is like my first camp out here, so I don't quite know everybody's name, but Bob Perez is my coach, and or he's one of my coaches, and he'll bring in sparring partners for me. So he has a bunch of female fighters and some smaller male fighters, and he'll just bring them in for me to my workouts, and I'll spar with them or drill with them, or we'll work on whatever I need to work on. So that's one of the benefits, I think, of being at a smaller camp is that you kind of have the freedom to work on the stuff that you want to work on at the times you want to or need to work on it. Whereas at a big camp, you have a million bodies to work with, but, you know, you don't necessarily get, like, that personalized attention all the time.
Yeah, no, I get that. That's like, yeah, a lot of people, they go to these big camps, it's like a factory, and they kind of get lost in the shuffle. Whereas other people, they kind of make it about them. And it really is about what works for you. And, you know, I honestly think that it's all been working for you. You've never been dominated. Like the Cesaro was probably the most, and that wasn't a domination. You know, you're always right there in the fight. And I think if you fought any of the girls that beat you, you'd actually win, or you would win.
Yeah. Well, hopefully I will get a rematch. I'd like a rematch with Chukagi in one of these days. Just that fight was so close, and there was a lot of like external factors that I think really prevented me like from being the best I could be. It was still a really good performance, but like I just had a super shitty weight cut. It was on short notice, like just all the weird little bullshit, you know. And maybe mentally I wasn't in the best spot, so I hope to get that chance again sometime and try to do a little bit better. And
that's time you grunt real loud, because I think her grunts. Like,
oh my god, try fighting her, shit, that, it's just, all the fucking time, god damn.
I know, I've had that in bed before, and I'm like, after they're like, come, and they're like, no, I'm like, what the fuck was that? Like,
yeah,
like,
all right, well, it's awkward now. Yeah.
Yeah. 1,000%. And you know what else is really nice, afterwards, you're like, yeah, this is a lot better than crying in the locker room. And I just was like, man, you know, you never get to see the fighters cry in the locker room. Like, thank God. I know as a wrestler,
yeah.
I cry before, but I just picture you after a fight crying in the locker room, and that makes me really upset.
Yeah, well, everybody, I think, does it. I've had meltdowns after fights that I've lost before. Like, when I lost to Luz Carmouche, I really freaked out in the back. I wanted to, like, trash the place. I was pissed. But, you know, I think I've just grown as an athlete quite a bit. And when I first started fighting, like, I'd never really played a sport, you know, and so I just didn't know how to lose. Like, I didn't, like, to me it meant, like, that I was a big piece of shit. And just, that may or may not be true, but losing a fight doesn't necessarily mean that, you know what I mean? So, like,
yeah.
Now I see it differently. I've just really matured as an athlete and as a person, and now if I were to lose, I would still probably go have a good little cry in the locker room and be a little depressed for a while. But I also know that, like, losing a fight isn't the end of the world, and that, you know, being on the biggest stage in the UFC, fighting in the top 10, fighting the best women in the world, that it means there's going to be ups and downs. Like, every world champion, the best fighters in the world all have peaks and valleys, you know, so.
Well, I know as a coach, I'd rather have a kid cry when he loses than not care. The worst is when they don't care. Because
sure.
You can't teach that. I'd much rather have a kid get upset. In fact, I almost welcome it than a kid that's like, oh, whatever. You know, it happens. Then I'm just like, oh, okay. This is your problem here.
Hey, I've even, like, I used to cry after wins sometimes. Like, if I didn't think the fight was good enough or if I didn't get a finish or something like that, I would go in the back and cry because the fight wasn't good enough. And my coaches would all be like, God damn, dude, just celebrate your fucking victory. Like, quit being like this, you know? Like, cheer up. You just want to fight. And I remember, like, after I fought Sarah De Alelio, I went in the back and cried a little bit because the fight was so close and I was just pissed. And I couldn't even be happy that I won. And so, again, like, it's just a matter of kind of growing through athletics. Like, it's just taught me so much about the big picture and winning and losing and how to do both with a little bit of grace and dignity, you know. But it took a while for me to get there. That's all right.
Hey, you know, you've come a long way. And plus, you know, based on your life, there's nothing that you do that you don't give it 100%. So I don't know if you could do anything without really – like, is there anything that you do where you just, like, have fun? Or if you, like, maybe bowling or something? Or if you don't win,
I was going to say eating. I like to eat a lot. So, like, but I guess that means I kind of go all out when I eat, too.
Yeah,
I like to cook.
Is there anything that you could lose where you wouldn't get upset about?
Fuck, a couple pounds, probably. I wouldn't get upset about.
Got it. Okay. Now, Dominic, during the fight, said that you were heavy on your feet. And you were eating a lot of leg kicks. Were you limping the next day?
No, I don't even have a bruise on my leg. The reason I was lifting my leg was because I was trying to check before she even kicked. So, like, just by kind of preemptively checking it, it'll keep them from kicking. And we knew going in that she was going to throw a lot of leg kicks, and we also knew she was going to be looking for the takedown. Like, that's just kind of, like, my head movement is pretty good most of the time. I can get into a pretty good rhythm with my head movement, but the price of that is that I get a little heavy on my feet. You know what I mean? So, that's just one more thing we're going to work on for the next fight, but no, my legs weren't fucked up at all. I don't even know why Dominic said that. She landed, like, one leg kick, and he was like, oh, look, she's hurting. I was like, no, I'm not.
Yeah. Did you hear him say that while you were fighting?
No, I just watched the fight the next day, and I was kind of surprised, actually, that he had even said that. But she did land one good one. But, yeah, I just started raising my leg, and that'll keep people from kicking because, you know, you're more likely to check.
Right. And then afterwards you said Mick Maynard throw a paycheck on the Barbie. was that planned? I mean, was that something you had, like, planned to say?
We just, like, we were just talking in the locker room right before the fight, and I was like, oh, shit, what if I get a sick finish, you know? And then we were just, I don't know, it just kind of came out, like, Mick Maynard throw another paycheck on the Barbie, you know? And, like, we all started laughing. Like, at the time, we thought it was hilarious. And so after the fight, like, I did get a finish, and Joe was like, say it. So, yeah.
I could tell.
I don't know.
You had, like, a smirk before you said it. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, whenever, I don't know, like, I would rather plan what I'm going to say post-fight because otherwise I just sound like a fucking idiot, you know what I mean?
Oh.
So, I don't know. I get so jacked up and then, anyway, I was really just happy to get the win, man. Super happy to get a finish, and especially, like, it being over a ranked opponent is a big deal. Like that's a memory I'm going to hold on to forever, getting a knockout finish over somebody ranked in the UFC.
Beautiful. Now, they landed those extra hammer fists down. Did you know she was out, or do you think that was that, like, just go till the ref stops you, or was there a point where you were like, hey, I should stop hitting her?
No, you just go till the ref stops you. I knew she wasn't defending herself, and I could see the ref out of the corner of my eye. Like, I just saw that she, like, wasn't defending herself, you know, and the ref was right there. So I knew it was going to get stopped, but, yeah, I'm not going to stop fighting until they tell me to.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I mean,
it
kind of
sucks though,
because
maybe if I had just walked off, like maybe if I just walked off from the knee, maybe it would have been like a walk off KO. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't know. You're not Mark Hunt. No disrespect. So you might want to. let's just make sure they're out.
Yeah. Maybe I would have got the bonus.
I've seen so many people. They knock the person down, and then they put their hands up or something. I'm like, no!
Dude, yeah, then they got to put them down right away. They're like, oh, shit, never mind.
Yeah, don't do that, please. Now, Colby Covington was, like, the big talk of the fight. You know, afterwards, he made that Matt Hughes train joke. How was your experience with Colby? Did you interact with him, or what was your thoughts on the whole thing?
I didn't even interact with him, not even a little bit. Yeah, I just saw him walk by one time. I didn't really say a word to him. Yeah, I don't really know anything about the guy, to be honest with you. We didn't even stick around for the end of his fight. We just walked back to the hotel.
Got it.
But the Secret Service was there. Like, that was kind of different. So usually it's just the UFC staff and the arena staff and the commission kind of making sure everything's in order, people are going where they need to go. And this time the Secret Service was everywhere because the first family was there. So that was a little different, kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that must have been wild.
Yeah, it was wild. And, like, you could kind of tell, I'm sure a lot of them were plain clothes, but you could kind of tell who some of them were. They had, like, little pins on and different, like, blue suits that they were wearing. So,
did you think,
yeah,
like,
probably different for them. Huh?
Did you ever think, like, I could take this guy?
I didn't think that, but I always wonder, like, are you like Jason Bourne? Like what do you know? Do you know a bunch of fucking ninja shit? You know, and I always like try to see if I could see where their weapons are. Like,
now how's Joe doing? Your husband?
He's good, man. It was his birthday on Thursday, so it was pretty fucking sweet to like when I ran over to the cage and saw him. The first thing I told him was like, "Happy birthday, baby." Like, that was kind of the coolest thing I could think of to give him, you know? But
other things too, but yeah, go on.
But okay, but we took care of those, you know what I mean? Some of those things are in my control and some of them aren't. So like,
right.
On his birthday, he definitely got some gifts. So don't you worry for Joe.
Good. Nice.
He's a well taken care of man.
What I like about you, you're just like, you're funny, you're hot, and you're horny. Yeah, all good.
Well, you know what, Adam? You got to treat, like, you got a dude like that, you got to treat him right. Because if you don't, somebody else might. And that, like, I couldn't have that. So,
and
Joe's
he's a tall
like,
guy. You could probably take care of him standing up, too. He's very tall.
It's true, yeah. Well, yeah, we fit together perfectly height-wise, so.
Now, isn't it great, though, you think about, like, the fact that at one point you lost custody of your kid, a mess. And now here you are in the octagon saying, give me that money. I want to pay my kids through college. Like, isn't that awesome?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, Max is, like, his college fund is taken care of, thank God. And he's going to go to college. So, like, we just have so much freedom, and he and I are pretty close. He was the first person I called after the fight, and I was crying, and he was crying, and, like, it is cool to have a good relationship with him, and he and Joe have a really great relationship too. And like, it is pretty unbelievable, you know. He's turned into such a good kid. He has a job, he has a license, he's clean and so like he doesn't do drugs at all. Like he's I don't know how I got so lucky. I'm telling you, but he's a great kid.
Well, because you work hard, you're a nice person. You train hard, you give back, you put good energy out, and good energy comes back to you. That's why. I can tell you.
Thanks,
exactly,
man.
Why. I mean, if you go around dicking everyone over, being an asshole, and good things are bad things attract you. It's like, you know, you're attracting good things. You know.
I do try, yeah. I try, man. I all week, you know, just kept like a really good attitude as much as I could, like through the weight cut and just all like just really practicing. If I cannot control it, I don't fucking worry about it. You know,
is Joe fighting still or no? Is he done?
Yeah, actually, Joe has a fight coming up September 28th. So, yeah, he'll be stepping back into the cage himself in Phoenix. So we're going to get back to Phoenix and get his camp going, get his camp underway. Yeah.
What's the organization?
I believe it's for the WFF, the World Fighting Federation. I'm pretty sure.
That's great. I love it. Now you're going to be in Joe's corner.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully. I don't know because I'm not as good of a corner man as he is. Joe's an outstanding coach and corner man. He's a really good corner man. And I don't know if I could do the same for him because I get so jacked up. Like, I'm a pretty emotional person, you know, and I don't know if I could watch Joe fight the way that he can watch me fight. You know, like, he can stay really calm. He stays very analytical. He doesn't get really, like, emotional when he's in my corner, and I just can't quite promise that I could do that for him. Like,
you're sick of saying things like, win this round, I'll give you a blowy or something.
And no blowjob unless you win.
Yeah, seriously, that would motivate me. Yeah. Or you could be like, listen, threesome if you get a knockout, and then at the end, like, yeah, I was kidding.
But not with your opponent.
Yeah, not with
maybe one of the ring girls.
Oh, there you go. Boom. Yeah, but then all of a sudden he throws like a flying triangle. You're like, what the fuck? that might not be good.
Yeah, dude, I'm jacked up for him to fight. I don't know if I'll be in his corner, but I'm definitely, like, I will be there. You know what I mean? So I'm jacked up for him to fight. And he's doing Fight to Win here in, like, 2 weeks. Fight to Win Scottsdale.
Oh, wow. So he's got two fights in, like, 2 months.
Yeah, he's still very, like, very much a competitor himself.
What's his record?
He was 4-1, I think, or 3-1.
Three and one.
I think
got
he's
it.
3-1, and all three of his victories are first-round submissions.
Damn, well, he's a tall guy. Was he, like, 6'3 or something, 6'2?
Yeah, he's 6'2, yeah.
Wow, damn. Well, listen, Laura Murphy, be happy, okay? I can't wait to see you do it again. I'm going to be in Arizona in September also. I'll be at the comedy. Do you still live in Arizona or you live in Houston now?
Yeah, I'll be in Arizona in September. Yeah, I'll come see you for sure. Let's go. We'll go out and get some. I'm not going to drink, but I'll buy you a drink. And
okay.
We'll grab dinner and stuff.
I love it. Well, thank you so much. And take care, Lauren.
Hey, thanks for having me on, man.
Anytime. Take care.
Bye.
All right, thank you for listening. Now make sure if you want to see me live, go to adamhunter.com. I got dates coming up. I'm with Russell Peters in Mississippi, in Biloxi, Mississippi, in August 15th. Then I'm in Maryland, August 16th, at the MGM Grand Arena in Maryland. Also, I'm at the Looney Bin in Little Rock, late August. I'm also in Sacramento at Tommy T's the last week of August. And then in September, I'm in Arizona at the House of Comedy, as well as Edmonton, the comic strip. So check me out live. Go to adamhunter.com. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Rockfin. Thank you, Lauren Murphy. Take care. Traps on some traps. Traps on some trap. Don't some trap. Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дөр булаа. Даа дөр булаа мөрөө.